I have a lost and found item this morning, a pair of glasses. I'm going to read the license plate number, and if this license plate number is yours, then you can claim it. It's, oh no, wait, here it is. G4172PB. So if that you recognize that number on this pair of glasses, you could claim it this morning. No, does anybody recognize these? These were on the floor. Is anybody missing a pair of spectacles? Nobody? Okay. You like that word, spectacles? So, okay. Well, I'll put these over here, and if you can't see what's going on this morning, maybe they're yours. All right. So good morning again. So glad you're here, and excited to jump in the Word this morning? I hope so. I hope you came with your heart ready to hear from God. Got a couple props up here on the stage this morning for us. Why don't we pray, and let's ask God to prepare our hearts for what He has for us. Father, we're just so thankful to know that You're here this morning with us. And Lord, we know that Your love for us is great. God, we're thankful for the grace that You pour out into our lives every day. We're thankful that Your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, we just praise You this morning because life flows from You. So God, this morning as we're here, we surrender our hearts to You. Lord, we open them up and we say, Lord, we're here. And whatever it is that You want to do this morning through Your spoken word, have Your way in our hearts. Lord, help us to take what You say to us this morning and to leave here applying it to our lives. Because You're not a God that's far away and distant, but You're a God that's close and personal. And we thank You for Jesus. We glorify Him as our risen Savior who's given us life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, so there was a gentleman by the name of E.M. Bounds. He was an early 20th century pastor. He was really passionate about prayer. And he once said this. He said, "What the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom from the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer." And as a church this morning, I want to think about this topic, this thing called prayer. Prayer is vital to every part of the Christian life, right? I mean, we know that. We would not try and separate the Christian life or walking with God, having a relationship with the Lord without prayer. We all probably all agree with that. And so, as a church, we've been talking about what are some of the core values, things that are important to us as a church. And we have adopted prayer as an important core value for us. Prayer needs to be an important fabric of who I am in my relationship with the Lord. It needs to be an important fabric of who we are as a church as we seek after God and His heart. And so this morning, as we go through this, I'm just going to give you, I'm calling it the 3 P's for a potent prayer life, okay? And if you can say that without stumbling, then you get a gold star. 3 P's for a potent prayer life. But I want to say right off the bat, okay, no guilt allowed, okay? No guilt allowed. Because I know sometimes as soon as we start talking about prayer, you know, our minds often go to this thought of, well, okay, I feel guilty because I know that I really don't pray as much as I want to. Or I don't pray like I feel that I should. You know, when someone feels this sense of guilt. And I want to say this morning, just get that out of your way, okay? If that's in your head, put it to the side. Because I don't want it to get in the way of what God might want to say to you this morning, what God might want to encourage you about your relationship with Him. And so so we're going to read the text this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, or excuse me, 1 to 13. And I want to read this to you. This is our passage this morning that we're going to look at. And so it says in Luke chapter 11, verses 1, starting there, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And He said to them, 'When you pray, say,'" this is Jesus speaking now, "'He says, Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And He said to them," He goes on to tell a parable, He says, "'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, 'Don't bother me, the door is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" So that's our text this morning that we want to kind of walk through this morning. And so one of the things that as I was praying through this morning, and as we were going to talk about this, is that the Lord really impressed on my heart through this text that I think one of the things that maybe God wants to do this morning is, I think in some ways, maybe for some of us, he wants to change our view of prayer, okay? And I think that's a good thing, and I think we're gonna see that in the text. He wants to encourage us about maybe where we are, how we view prayer. So what do I mean by this? Well, I tried to set up two different scenarios, two different scenes on the platform for us this morning to try and give us a picture of sometimes the way that we view prayer. So the one over here to your left, this represents a doctor's office, okay? Which represents sometimes the relationship that we have with our doctors, right? How many of you just love going to the doctor's office, right? I mean, nobody does, right? We don't love to go there. And you say, well, why is that? Well, it's because there's nothing that's really natural about it. Every time we go there, at least for me anyway, a lot of times when I go to the doctor's office, it feels kind of sterile, right? Sometimes we treat prayer kind of like going to the doctor's office, or we have that view. We don't go that often. When we're there, we just kind of tell them what's wrong, and we kind of hope that the doctor is actually listening to us. We hope that they'll give us what we need, and we're hoping that it will make my life better, right? And so we've all been in the doctor's office, right? Y'all get up there, y'all sit on the table. Hopefully this won't break. And you know that feeling, right? That feeling where you're sitting in the doctor's office, you're just waiting, and you're waiting to see the doctors. And most doctors we don't have a very real personal relationship with. They come in, and you have a quick chat about your problems, examine your situation. I mean, nothing really feels great about the whole thing. But we know that it's a necessity. We know it's a necessity that from time to time, if I want things in my life and my health to keep going the right way, this is something that I have to do. And for many people, sometimes I think this is what prayer feels like for us. It feels a little bit cold. It feels a little bit sterile and maybe sometimes uninviting, right? And, you know, doctor's office appointments, sometimes you're in and out in 5 minutes, right? Sometimes that's what prayer feels like. But in the same way, we know, right? We know that going to the doctor is important for us. We know that we have to go so that we can stay healthy. And so sometimes we treat prayer like this. Sometimes it just feels like a checkup. It feels like a check-in and check-out kind of thing. And for some people, you know, if we were to ask, if you were to get intimate with somebody and have a conversation, you know, some people might say that they just don't really enjoy praying. And they don't really, maybe it's like, well, I do it, but I don't really, can't say I really have a love for it. And I wouldn't really say it's like the sweetest times in my life that I've had praying, you know, sort of like this sort of feels like this, okay? And so in this scripture, what we see that one of Jesus' disciples observed Jesus' life of prayer. He observed that Jesus would get up early in the morning, you know, while it was still dark, and he would go off and he would spend all this time with the Lord, with his Father. And so one of the disciples, he's curious about this. I think he's looking at this, and he's walking with Christ, and he's following him, and he's thinking, there's something different here. There's something different. And so he asks Jesus, he says, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? Now, I think this is an interesting question, because I don't think it's that the disciples had never prayed before, right? It's not that they had never not seen prayer. It's not that they had never prayed. They knew what prayer was. But they saw something different in Jesus. And they said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And so I don't think that the way Jesus saw prayer was anything like this over here. And that's what was on my heart this week. I just don't think that that's how Jesus saw prayer. That it was some kind of a sterile relationship like that we have with our doctors. And this is not, I don't think this is the sense. And rather, he teaches us something else that comes out of this passage. And so that's what this is over here to your right. So when you look at this, I want you to think, oh, I got to fix this because I'm going to be OCD about this. Some of you are too. All right, there we go. Thank you. Is that better? Nobody heard a word I said until I straightened that out, some of you. All right. So when you look at this, I want you to think, how many of you have a favorite place in your life, a comfortable spot, right, where you just like to get and hang out with that one or two people in your life that you're really close to, right? That place where you can go and have those deeper conversations. The fellowship is sweet. You leave feeling refreshed and encouraged, right? You know? This over here, right? I mean, I've got a couple really good friends in my life. Maybe you do too, right? And you just love to sit down. Whoa, it's a deep couch. You just love to sit down, right? And just have that conversation with that person in your life that just, you know, you respect them and they draw so much out of you and they're a good listener, and you can go to deep places in your heart that maybe you can't talk about with other people. And one of the things that's amazing is that when we read the Bible, that this is the kind of God that we have. He's the kind of God who longs and who loves to go into deep places with you in your heart and in your life. And because God has created us to be in that kind of a relationship. And the neat thing about it is it doesn't matter, you know, how many times we might have turned away from the Lord or feel like we're not really walking with him. Because he is a covenantal God, right, he continues and he will always pursue his children to have this kind of a relationship with them. And this is awesome, right? And I want you to think about that this morning, because it appears that I think what Jesus is trying to teach us out of this text is that this is where he is inviting us to, okay? And so the first thing that we're going to talk about this morning, so there's three P's, and the first one is priorities, okay? That's what I'm calling them, priorities. And so we're just going to kind of walk through some of these real quick. I want you to think of these things as priorities of the heart, okay? These are, I think, they're priorities of the heart, my heart, your heart. And there's six of them as we go through. And as we go through these, I want to encourage you to be thinking about how are these things a priority in your heart, in your relationship with God, when you're praying, okay? When you're praying with him. The first one is so Jesus says, when you pray, say, Father, okay? Stop there. The first one is Father. Now, this is important, because if you were an Old Testament believer, right, they didn't know. This was a totally new concept to them. Being able to go to God and address him, not just as Lord, but as my Father. As my Father. Calling God your Father, having this kind of intimate relationship, right? Where you pray, and he says, and that you know that you're coming to God as a child comes to his Father. We see this idea in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Paul writes in Romans, he says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. He repeats the same idea in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Look at the screen. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. So the idea here is that for anybody who comes to Christ for salvation and is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and to be born again, God adopts these people into his family, and he gives us as believers the privilege to call God my Father. My Father. And this is really meaningful. This is the starting point where Jesus says, look, I want you to understand this. Now, some of you here this morning, some of you have had great fathers. Some of you would say, no, I did not have a good relationship with my father. My father was not a good earthly father. My relationship with my father, I would describe He passed away 3 years ago, and it was a good relationship. Very thankful for my father. But I would also tell you that he was not the kind of man who knew how to go into the deep places of life, you know, and to have some of these deeper conversations and to lead us in a strong spiritual way. But I knew that he loved me, and I knew that I was his son. But I'm also thankful for older other men that God brought into my life over the years who modeled for me fatherhood and the way that God is as a heavenly father. You know, men who role modeled encouragement, and men who role modeled navigating the deeper waters of life. Someone who is strong and demonstrates leadership and sets an example for others. And so when we pray, we need to remember that we're coming not to our image of our earthly father, but we're coming to our amazing heavenly father, right? Who is perfect in every way. And so with this first priority, the priority of the heart, I just want to encourage you this morning to be thinking about, is this an element of my prayer life? Do my conversations with God reflect this, where I come to him when I pray and I just say, Father, you know? And to realize that that's not just a religious expression, but it's indicative of a personal relationship that God is inviting me into. Now here's the second thing. Jesus says this in this prayer. He says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And this is the second priority of the heart. And I characterize it like this. Be amazed. Be amazed by God's unique character and enter into worship. Okay? So what does this mean? Well, hallowed is a word that basically means that God is holy. He's unique and he's completely set apart. He's different from us in his character and his attributes. God is God. God is God. And when I'm talking to him in prayer, I need to remember that that's who I'm talking to. I don't only just come to him as my father, but I come to him as one who I should have a great sense of awe about, and a great sense of respect, and a great sense of reverence because of who he is, his great power and his great personhood. And so when I'm praying, one of the things that Jesus teaches us that he wants us to do is just to take some time and to sit and reflect on how amazing God is. How amazing God is. Now, why is that important, right? We'd ask, like, why is that so important? Well, I think it's important because most of our day, right, my day, often feels like it's just focused on me. It's I see it through my eyes, through my life, and when we take time in our prayer life to just stop and to open up the Bible and to sit and reflect on who God is, it takes my eyes off of me, off of my life, my problems, and it puts my eyes and it puts my heart on God. It puts my heart on God. And it's there, it's when I do that, this is how God, I think God says these things because it's how God says, this is how you need to position your heart for prayer. These are the foundational things that you and I need to be thinking about. And so when I do this, it helps me to realize how wonderfully and how beautiful God is. And this is important because it draws me to him. It will draw you to him. And it will put everything in a proper perspective, and it creates inside of us a longing for him. Because I realize that he's different than me. And he is God, and he is worthy of my worship. And so think about this over here, this scene with this couch. And those times in your life when you sit down and you meet with somebody that you love and somebody that you respect and somebody who's got great wisdom and just speaks these things into your life, you feel completely loved without judgment. I think that there is this sense where when you come to God, that this happens when we pray to him. There's this recognition that, yes, God, this is who you are. Look at how David writes about this. And as I read this to you, and he's looking on the screen, I want to encourage you to look at it like, notice the relationship between God's character and then his relationship with us, okay? Because for so many years in my life, I'm just being honest, for a lot of years in my life, when I looked at this Lord's Prayer, I often felt like it was a checklist. You know, I felt like, okay, here's a checklist. Here's things that God says I need to cover when I pray, so check, I got that one, check, I got that one, you know, check, I got that one, okay? And I think what Jesus is trying to say, look, no, this is much more about your heart. says much more about your heart. So David writes, he says in Psalm 145, "The Lord is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger, and he is abounding in love." Verse 8 through 21, Psalm 145. "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom, it's an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all who look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him, and he also hears their cry and saves them." Now, I don't know how you could come to God that way without being changed. When we come before a God like that, it changes us. It changes us. And so I want to ask you this morning on this party, ask yourself, is this happening in my prayer life? Is this a place where I'm positioning in my heart, where I'm reflecting on the character of God and it's changing me? Because the reality is that your soul needs God. Your soul needs God. You are not complete without him in your life. And so this is why we have to come and we have to get out of ourselves and just reflect on the character of God. The third one is this. The third priority is desire to see God's kingdom to reign on earth. Jesus said, pray this. He said, "Your kingdom come." And so this is how I describe this desire, for us to have a desire for God's kingdom to begin to reign on earth. All right? Now remember, when you think about this, this is all over here, okay? We're building this image, this relationship, one of intimacy with God and deep fellowship. Now when we come to this phrase, it really has two meanings. The first is that it means that as I'm spending time with God and I'm soaking all that he is into my life, because it's what he's created me for, right? All of his wonders as the character of God, it's changing me, and I'm seeing it in my life. And so from there, it does something in me where I say, man, I desire that God's reign as king to come, that he would reign in the hearts of people everywhere. It's basically saying, God, I see that you're so good, and I love you so much, and God, you're reigning in my heart. And God, I want people to know you in this way. I want your kingdom to come on earth. I want to reign in the hearts of people, my neighbors, my city, my country. God, that your reign would come to fruition. Pray for his kingdom to come. And it also has this idea that because I love God so much, that I have this sense of anticipation that someday God is going to fully install his kingdom here on earth at his second coming. And someday Satan will completely be destroyed and Christ will rule and reign fully as Scripture talks about. And so there's this sense that, yes, I'm also anticipating that, and I'm looking forward to that. And that's something that God is doing in my heart, because this is how I'm seeking to know my God. And so this is a way that God says to us, yes, when we pray this way, is this a longing of our hearts? And we need to wrestle with that. Is this a longing of my heart, that God, that your kingdom would be made known, that it would come, God, that you would reign in people's hearts? The fourth one is this. Is Jesus says, moving on, he says, give us this day our daily bread. This is another thing that Jesus says to us. And now I just categorize this as exercise dependence on God for daily needs. God wants us to exercise dependence on him for everything that's happening in my life. And say, well, why is that important? Why does Jesus teach this? Well, one, if we were to ask the question, where does everything come from in my life that I have? Where does everything come from in my life that I have? And the answer to that is that it comes to us as a gift of God's grace. God has given it to us in his grace, and it's not something that I earned myself. And so in my prayer life, this is a part of my prayer life. It's designed to keep me humble before God. It's designed to keep me humble before God, realizing that, God, you are my provider. God, I rely on you for everything, and it does something really cool in us. It develops an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of praise, to say, man, I'm just so thankful for everything that I have in my life because it comes from God, and I'm just so thankful. If he wanted to take it away, he could take it away, but he blesses me with all these things. And so the question is, as we think about my relationship with God, do I have a humble heart? Do I have a humble heart, and do I acknowledge that God is my provider? The fifth thing that Jesus said here, he says, and forgive us our sins. Let's look at this. For we forgive ourselves, or for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. This is another important part of developing this relationship, right, with the Lord over here, is that we talk to God about a cleansing of my heart. A cleansing of my heart. Jesus taught that we need to remember that what I have with the Lord is a relationship with him, right? I have a relationship with him. And so the junk in my life, the daily sins in my life, the things that I recognize that are going on, affect the quality of my relationship with God. They affect the quality of my relationship with God. It's the same thing, like if I've got a lot of junk going on, you know, in my life and in my relationship with my wife, right? That's going to affect the quality of the relationship with my wife, right? It's going to put some gaps, some distance in between us. I want to make this clear. The scriptures are very clear to teach that for anybody who's trusting in Christ, that the penalty of our sin is already paid for and taken away at the cross, right? But there is stuff that happens, right? We're human, right? There's this stuff. We still wrestle. We still struggle with the flesh, right? And so this affects my relationship with God, how well I'm walking with him or whether I'm not. And as these things are coming up in my life, I need to be able to go to him and say, God, man, I need you to cleanse my heart today. I need you to cleanse my heart today for these things. And Jesus says, this needs to be an important element. Like, don't forget this. Remember this, right? In your prayer life, there needs to be an element of saying, yeah, God, okay, let me think through my life today. You know, what wasn't right? Where was I struggling? You know, my relationship with you, my relationship with other people, right? And so just the question is we ought to be thinking about, do I have undealt sin and stuff in my relationship with God that's maybe junking up my relationship with him? And so regular confession and getting that right with God ought to be a part of my prayer life. And so what God does in that is then God through the Holy Spirit just continues to refresh us. He refreshes you and he continues to bring his life back to you, you know, and his goodness, because we're getting rid of that stuff that's in between. And then the last one here, he says, and lead us not into temptation, right? Lead us not into temptation. This is power for victory over sin, right? Power for victory over the sin in my life and the things in my life that I go, this is the ugliness of my life. This is the stuff that's going on inside of me that I just don't like, and it's offensive to God, and it's ways that I hurt other people. And so we don't have a lot of time to spend on this point, but when we spend time in the presence of God, the Bible tells us that God calls us to do something. He calls us to live by the Spirit. He calls us to live by the Spirit and not to live by the flesh. There's two different ways to live our lives. And when we're walking with God and I'm living by the Spirit, God gives us a victory over our struggles. And I want to encourage you this morning to say, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through in your life, God is able to give you victory over that. He's able to give you victory because he can, and because he is powerful, and because of the resurrection. I want you to have hope this morning. And so Jesus tells us, he says, and lead us not into temptation. We need to be thinking about this in my life. I need to be going to God and saying, God, I need to actively be thinking about, okay, I don't want to fall into sin. I don't want to allow these things to come into my life. So Lord, lead me not into temptation. God, may I be strong in you. May I live out these things for you. And so... so let's move on, all right? Stay with me. Here's the second part, the second P of what Jesus starts to unravel for us about prayer, okay? Is persistence, verses 5 through 8. Jesus tells a parable, and he says to these guys, to his disciples, he says, okay, so here's a story about a guy who has a friend who comes to him really late at night, and he's going to stay at his place. But this guy realizes that he doesn't have any bread, so he goes to a friend's house, and he starts knocking on the door. But his friend is already asleep, and he's got his children with him, and, you know, during this day, they lived in very small homes, and everybody kind of sort of slept in close quarters together. And so this is the scene, this is the scenario. And this the guy who's sleeping, he says, look, I'm not going to get up. I'm already asleep with my children, and so I can't get up. But Jesus goes on to tell this parable that because of his persistence, because of his boldness, even to the point where he was willing to almost humiliate himself because of his persistence, just be so persistent, right, that this guy then gets up, and he offers this guy all the bread that he needs. And so the question is what's the point of this parable? What is it that Jesus is trying to teach us about prayer? The point is not that if I want God to hear me, I have to continue to beat down the doors of heaven. The point is not that if I want God to answer my prayers, I have to continue to beat down because God won't unless I do. That's not the point. All right, that's sort of what we see sort of happening here with this guy, but that's not the point of this passage. The point of this passage is that how much more is God, because he's God, will he meet those needs in your life? How much more does God invite you into prayer because he is God? The idea is that God is not like the man, that God is even greater. And so the idea is that there is this invitation for you and for me to come. God is inviting us. He's saying, come. I want you to come. I want you to bring to me everything that's in your life. Come, let's sit down, let's talk. And so how do we know this? Well, look at verses 9 through 13, because this is what rounds out the parable. Jesus says, and I tell you, all right, he says, I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And he goes on, he tells a sort of a second parable, right? And he talks about this idea. He says, you know, if there's a kid that comes to his father and he asks him for a fish, right? He's not going to give him a serpent, right? Or if he asks him for an egg, he says, your earthly fathers, they're not going to give you like a scorpion, right? And so Jesus says, you know, if you as earthly fathers who still have sin dwelling within you, if your heart is good, how much more? How much more is the heart of God? All right? So church, is this starting to stir in you a little bit? I hope that it is, all right? Because I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss what God is trying to say to you this morning about how he is inviting you to come, because he is a God who has good for you. That's who he is. He wants to bless you, and he wants to bring good into your life. So he wants to bring provision. Now, we have to talk about what this means. Because at a quick glance at this, we would look at this and go, oh, wait a minute, like I've prayed this lots of times and God hasn't answered my prayers. So I don't understand, because if Jesus says, well, I tell you, ask and it'll be given to you, well, I've prayed for some stuff and he hasn't given it to me. Okay, so well, what's really going on here? And we already read verses 11 through 13. That's an important piece to understanding this, that God is saying, compared to your earthly fathers, I have so much, I will always, always do you good. And it's interesting, a water snake in Palestine could sometimes be mistaken for a fish, and a scorpion could be rolled up to resemble an egg. And I just wanted to share that with you because it was kind of interesting. But what did Jesus mean in verses 9 through 10 when he said, ask, right, and he will do these things in your life? Well, so sometimes God, when we pray to him, he will work in your life to answer for you the things that you've asked for. Sometimes God will do things in your life to give you even above and beyond way more than what you would have asked for. And he blesses you in ways that you couldn't have even imagined. And sometimes God will say no. Because God knows that his no is better than my request. And it's important to realize that. And so when God is saying, let me look at this here. He says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. All right? God's heart for us, his invitation is good. And he wants to bless us. And so, for example, I thought about a couple things that would relate to my own family and to my kids. And for those of you who have kids, you might be able to understand as well. When you were growing up as a kid, did your parents always give you everything that you asked for? Anybody? Yes, I was a spoiled child. I got everything I asked for. They didn't give you everything that you asked for, but they did give you, they did answer your request in what was best for you, probably, right? So if you think about this, for example, sometimes my kids will come to me and they'll say, "Dad, will you give me lunch?" All right? And I'll say, "Yes, I'll absolutely give you lunch." And so with their sandwich, they might say something like, they just go and start picking stuff out of the drawers, right? And they sit down at the table and all of a sudden they've got a sandwich and they've got an Edamame's muffin pack and cookies and Twizzlers, right? And some of you can relate. And I look at that and I'll say, okay, my answer, they say, "Can I have all this?" No, you can't have all of that, right? They're like, "But Dad, I'm asking you." Okay, but no, you can't have all of that because that's not good for you, all right? Let's replace one of these with the fruit, right? Let's get rid of these Edamame's, you know, muffins, and let's replace that with the fruit. Let's put some crackers in here, okay? So sometimes, right, when God says no, it's because he is answering your prayer, but he's answering it with something that's better than what we would have wanted for ourselves. Now, recently we had a situation where our middle child, she came to me and her bike tire was like all popped and flat, you know, and the bike is a number of years old. And so we had already decided that we were going to get her a new bike for Christmas. And so, you know, the tread's all gone on the tires and things like that. And so we had a really good time. I got to tell you this story. So I told her, I said, "We're going to go get some new tires for your bike." And she's like, "Okay," you know, because the one tire was flat. And so I said, "Come on." It was after dinner and we went over to Walmart. And she says, "Dad, do you know where the tire section is in Walmart?" And I said, "Yeah, I know where the tire section is. Come on, let's go." So we walk into Walmart and we get over near all the bike racks, you know. And she goes, "Dad, where's the tire section?" And I said, "Look, honey, look at all these tires." She goes, "Yeah, but the bike comes with it." She said, "We can't take the bike too." And I said, "No, yes we can. We're going to buy tires and we're going to buy the bike that goes with it." And she looked at me for a second with this look on her face like, "What are you talking about, Dad?" And then it clicked and she just ran over to me and she just gave me this big hug and she's jumping up and down, right? Because what she needed, what she was praying for, was new tires. But what Dad wanted to do in her life was, "No, I want to bless you with so much more, so much more." And sometimes that's how God works in our lives. You know, we know this, we have this need, and he comes in and says, "No, I've got so much more for you." And so I just want to encourage us as a church that we need to be pursuing God in prayer this way over here. Because he's inviting us. He's inviting us. And lastly, I just need to comment real quick on this one thing that Jesus says here in this text. I just don't want to overlook it. Verse 13, where he says, God knows how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just wanted to point this out because when you're studying the scriptures, we see that in the Gospel of Matthew has the Father giving what he calls good things. And here, Luke has the Holy Spirit. And so, just as a point of reference, there's not 100% clarity on exactly what Jesus meant when he said this. There are two predominant perspectives. One is that when Jesus said this, he said this because the Holy Spirit hadn't fully come yet, right, to dwell in the lives of people. And so, you know, one train of thought is to say, well, he was thinking ahead to the Holy Spirit as the greatest gift that any of us could need, right? And another view is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, we see this idea that the Holy Spirit, he's the divine distributor of the gifts, the good things that were purchased by Christ and ordained by the Father. And so, you know, the good things, they come from the Holy Spirit. At any rate, the point here in this passage is that God hears your prayers, and how much more than any earthly father does God desire to bring what is good into your life. And so sometimes we give up. Have you ever given up on praying? Some of you are here this morning and some of you maybe have stopped praying for stuff. You stopped. You've given up. Because you feel like God hasn't heard you. And so Jesus gives this to us because he says, "Look, I want you to not give up. I want you to continue to come to me. Don't leave. Don't walk away from this and what God is calling you into. Don't give up. Be persistent. Follow it through. See and wait for God to unravel the wisdom in your life to show you what it is that he's doing." So I guess by way of as we wrap up this morning, as we take a moment here in a little bit to worship and just sing a little bit more, I want to encourage you. There's probably we might fit into some different categories this morning, and as I said, some of you here this morning that maybe you've come and you're here and you've stopped praying about things, and I want to encourage you that God is saying, no, don't stop. Okay, don't stop, because His heart is good, and you can't miss that in the text. His heart is good. Some of you here this morning, maybe you've been walking with Christ for a really long time, but maybe this still feels like what prayer is for you. And I want to encourage this morning to take some time as we wrap up the service to talk to God. And be like, God, I really want to move over here. This is how I know you want to engage my heart. And so, Lord, I'm just crying out to you today. Say, God, here I am. Do this in my life. And some of you might be here this morning, and maybe you don't have this kind of relationship with the Lord at all, or maybe not even this one. And I want you to know God is calling you to come. Jesus is calling you to come. He's calling you to say, look, I want to have this relationship with you. I want it with you. And so it's available to anybody. You simply come by faith. You simply come by faith, and you believe in what Christ has done through his death, his burial, and his resurrection to remove the penalty of sin and the barrier that is between us and God. And God says, come, let's have this relationship where you can call me your Father. Okay? Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you taught us these things in your word. And God, as we close our service this morning, we just want to be real with you, God. We want to be honest. We know that in a unique way, God, you're going to be speaking to each person that's in this room, and you are inviting and you are calling us to come to a relationship with you. And Lord, that we wouldn't just pray for the sake of praying, but that we would be seeking your heart through prayer. God, thank you that you forgive us of our weaknesses, our sins, our mistakes, our rebellion, and you continue to pursue us. You love us. You're so good. God, as we sing to close our service out this morning, God, would you encourage everybody in this room, Lord, about your truth, about what you've spoken to us in your word. We pray these things in your name. Amen.